This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, April 17th, 2008.
All right, so you'll email Ryan that and he'll send it out. So thanks so much. Anyone else for open microphone? All right, moving on to announcements and reports. The first is a transition events for 2009. By President-elect Lando.
I thought everyone had the date by today, but I don't. I just want to let you know I am planning on having a transition event between which we'll propose of this year's assembly members and next year's. Particularly, I want the liaison, the provost, to assemble to the new liaison, the provost, and so on and so forth for all the committee chairs and liaison positions. So I'll give you that date soon. I'm sorry, I thought I was supposed to have it.
Any questions or comments on Lavin's lack of an announcement? Okay. Any other announcements or reports? Basil.
I invited most of you on Facebook to the academic integrity forum. If I missed any of you, it's just something you put in the calendar. So, like I said, so I hope at least something you can make it. It's in 2 weeks, the 28th, 4:30 to 5:30, and it's Goldman Smith, HEP. Please invite people to the chat.
Questions or comments from Chris? Any other announcements? Right, I would just like to congratulate ACNED and the College of Publicans on putting a very successful event together earlier this week. Regardless of your political affiliations, I think we can all agree that Governor Huckabee was a very good speaker, and he answered a lot of questions. So thank you for putting that together, ACNED. All right, moving on to business of the day. The first is a review of the 2008-2009 academic calendar by myself. I received the letter at the end of today's packet from the provost, and in accordance with our charter, Article 1.4, the student assembly is to review and make comments regarding the proposed academic calendar. The way it works at Cornell is that they're basically 4 or 5 years ahead. So what we're basically looking at is the 2012-2013 school year. How this is going to work is I'm going to open up the speakers list. If you'd like to provide feedback on this calendar, please do so. You'll have 2 minutes to do that. And then Ryan and I will compile all the comments and we'll prepare a report for the provost so that she can oversee what we've made recommended. As that.
Did you also say, if you just got copy of it today?
No, you didn't. We sent it out.
Monday.
No, I sent it out earlier this week, Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to say people didn't check the person there until May 10th, according to the
letter. Right.
So, let's say people don't have a comment.
I have no problem doing that. If we, if people would like to continue to look this over, discuss this with your constituents, and we can do this quickly at the next SA meeting. I don't foresee it taking longer than 10 minutes.
Great.
All right, I'm just going to table this then. Thank you, Matt, for bringing that up. Next is a SWAT forum by Alon Greenberg, who's not here, and Ryan Lavin. We've been advertising for this in the Sun, and hopefully some individuals are here to come and speak about this. So you should have your SWAT document. And, we don't have our SWAT. Okay. They're not in the packet. Does everyone have their SWAT document from last time?
I have one.
Ian does. Great. Very well prepared.
Well, first, if anyone wants to, again, today's discussion that I'm soliciting feedback on behalf of SWAT and then we will either edit this document, and make some revisions. Just want to turn to assembly members to feedback. So,
Ryan, what did we go over last time?
Last time, we went over instructions to the assembly meeting, touch the problem, a quarter of the procedure.
Why don't we start then with student assembly oversight? We haven't discussed that.
I was looking to do it. I think Alon wanted to start with conduct of student assembly members.
All right, conduct of student assembly members. For those of you that have the document, that is on page. They're not numbered, but it's the second to last page. It's at the bottom of the document, conduct of student assembly members. Lavin is going to present a brief 3 to 5 minute presentation of what was discussed in the meeting. Ryan, I think this should be a little bit more thorough since the members don't have this in front of them, and then we'll open up a speakers list and people will be able to provide feedback.
Okay. Well, essentially, when this is being discussed, it was generally just discussed that there are quite a few internal conflicts and issues that typically the executive board is addressing. And the executive board has an array of other responsibilities to fulfill, and it's sort of, it's not productive when we have to entertain internal conflicts. So there were some suggestions that were put out there to create some sort of third-party judicial committee,
gotcha.
A third-party board, just a
yep.
subcommittee of the SA to deal with internal issues perhaps more of an in more than objective way than the executive board does addressing them each time. And it was being sustained by people who are also the leadership. Other potential solutions. As soon as someone should utilize the resources of the division of the university,
communications,
its administrative oversight at the university to ensure that all new members are versed in professional conduct and communication. Because there's a recent development, we also, I know that it is in the midst of planning some new professional and leadership conferences of some sort for the assembly members. But I think the primary solution discussed was having this third party or subcommittee of the SA trying back to the judiciary. I would open it up and I would refer those of the SWAT committee to the guy and I guess CJ who were there to give you your input from the discussions and anyone else's thoughts on the issue.
Right. To elaborate on what Ryan was saying as a second potential solution, the SWAT document outlines a third arm that would represent a judicial branch that could potentially suspend the seating privileges of an elected representative for a prescribed amount of time. And as we're discussing this, let's remember that these are just brainstorming documents and ideas that will be submitted to the executive committee of the student assembly next semester. We're not discussing any changes that are going to be implemented this semester, obviously, so let's not take on an aggressive form of debate, more one of brainstorming and kind of giving feedback to the document. First on the speakers list, and I'm going to limit speakers to 2 minutes, is Representative Asgary.
Thank you. Ron, aside from the potential of defending amendment creation of judicial branches, are there any other solutions?
I mean, in the past, I know the executive board and others have struggled. Should take it for the JA? Should they go to some of the university party? And in fact, I've concluded that those university parties from their end, they wasn't appropriate. And there's a sentiment, I guess, that people don't want to kind of get involved in the internal matters of the JA, and we should be dealing with it on our own. And that's part of why this is being proposed. That center should be responsible and
okay, about the judicial branch, I think that student assembly boards are involved, of course, they're conference between members, but I feel like that falls below all the students and current members. And given that, I think that falls into the purview of the JA office, because that is difficult when you have other SA members from this body and the community members. You may have students that have been with other students.
Okay.
It's not so much that it's an issue. I think there's an idea of, and I think that I know, like I said last week, if you want to, this is a document that's a work in progress, and not just a document that's a work in progress, just suggestions. It's not, you know, you two proposing just these ideas, it's not from you guys, but I think that the idea of being able to suspend an SA number for any period of time is ridiculous, because those are elected representatives, they're elected by the students, and the only way to take away their voting power is to recall them for what's in the charter. But not to suspend someone, take away their vote for a certain amount of time, and then I think that's something like appoint a liaison or something to that extent to take their place or, you know, that to me is an unacceptable solution, I think, not right?
Yeah.
Should I continue on that?
Representative Stallone.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for presenting this. Again, I want to thank the SWAT team, if you will,
I just want to say that I understand where you guys are coming from in terms of ethical conduct. I'm generally you guys are coming from in terms of ethical conduct and having some sort of accountability. I do want to suggest striking this conditional arm idea out of this document. I don't think any member should be able to suspend someone else's voting privileges when they have been elected by the public. I don't think that's just anti-democratic, period. But, however large this body is, like five of those distributional arms, like, what about like favoritism that could enter into this? Like, okay, so the five people really, really hate Ahmed because it's just annoying and mean. You know, so find something that we can charge him with so we can suspend him. Could that eventually happen? Yes, it can. And that's how politics works. Unfortunately, political bodies have politics in them, and politics is sometimes dirty. So when you combine politics and like a judicial branch, that's really bad. That's calling for trouble.
30 seconds.
Favoritism. And I don't think that's appropriate. I think if someone violates the campus code, there's a way of handling it. If someone violates ethical conduct, then during the next election campaign against them. If they really violate ethical conduct, then make it public to the sun, make it public, and try to recall them. Work on a different recall.
15 seconds.
But to just have 3-4 students on the student assembly suspend someone else's voting privilege, that's very messy and very anti-democratic. I don't think this was within our purview.
Parliamentarian Mazza.
Sort of go off on some last points before I actually get into my points. I think that logic is troubling at best. To say that you're going to push off whatever problems are in this essay until the next essay is really just passing the buck. And so you all know that I'm a transfer student. I came from SUNY Albany, and we had a judicial branch. Our student assembly was broken up between executive, legislative, and judicial. Now, this is certainly inappropriate for what we have right now, but a judicial arm or internal affairs committee is exactly what the student assembly needs. This semester and this year, we've seen a lot of problems come through. We've seen things that we don't know how to handle. There have been allegations about abuse of power, this, that, and the other thing. We have no way to fix that. And I sat on the executive committee this semester, and we really said, we don't know what to do in this situation. In terms of passing these things off to the JA, I think that the JA is busy dealing with actual real issues on campus that endanger the safety of others and not, abuse of power within the student assembly. I'm not well versed with JA policy, but I don't imagine that they would have jurisdiction over the student assembly or would be even amenable to enforcing our policy on our own members. And I think that's what the key of this issue is. We need to enforce our policy on our members. Now, if you're elected to the student assembly, you are elected to follow our guidelines. If you're not following our guidelines, there's a problem, and that needs to be remedied by the judge. It's not our job to pass our judicial authority or our judicial responsibility on the students. We need to fix ourselves, and that's a good way to bring legitimacy to the organization. But I think a lot of students think that we are lacking. Ryan, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. First, I just want to say, thank you for bringing this up. These were a lot of answers that were brought up this last committee meeting. Do I think we should have a subcommittee of the SA of five SA members that have the ability to expel someone from the student assembly? No. I mean, problems recognized, and oftentimes when someone provides a solution, tends to be like each other. And I think you're focusing a lot on this judicial branch of potentially suspending someone's voting rights or even taking them out of office. I think that's an extreme example. I think there are ethical issues internally that the JA's office will not hear, and other offices will not hear, that we do not address. And I know something that came up during discussion was, I guess, the School of Thought and the Honor Code. Having the presentation of and talk about the Honor Code is not so different than this proposal of internally governing ourselves so that we make sure we're following the standard of ethics. So, I appreciate all of your sentiments, and this small paragraph of this proposal is probably something that is something we're trying to capture, but it's at least talking about a theoretical judicial body that that does address internal issues that we that have just been neglected, and it's just a shame. So get the discussion started. Let's continue.
Thanks. Vince.
I guess my question to the SWAT committee, what would be the recourse on the assembly if this third party found an ethical violation? Or the assembly itself?
As a
so much of the judicial branch, what is the recourse? What would be the punishment upon the assembly member for finding such?
Right, I mean, the one example there, I guess, is an extreme example.
Again, we have to look at this as it's a potential idea, and then if it was even implemented, then there would be logistics that would have to go through. Are they a committee of the student assembly? Well, then if they are, then they can be overturned by 2/3 of the voting membership, which is one potential thing that you could be looking for. Let's keep in mind, though, one suggestion, one possible solution, I don't think the goal of these SWAT forums is not to bring out 15, 20 minutes of debate on one item. We understand that...
Well, I guess my question is, the judicial branch, you need to have a judicial branch.
Checks and balances, no.
Resource for committing crime, so, of ethics. And I think that's what we're getting at. So what is the resource?
Right, absolutely. That's guy's trying to find out.
And I think the only thing, the reason why Representative Sale and Representative Asbury have problems with it is, the only recourse is suspension that's been brought forward.
Right. No, I mean, again, I'm going to take you through the repetitive, but that was just, again, one example. Hope that's the one that's here.
Keep in mind that this is just a suggestion. This is something that I think is very important to the SA. And the way I envisioned it when I was talking to the SWAT committee about this is that the Internal Affairs Committee would be a committee of the SA. Therefore, its decisions would be binding, but it would also be subject to approval by the SA. So in the worst case scenario, let's say a representative was removed from the assembly for some sort of egregious violation. That senator where the representative would be removed until the next meeting when the committee decision was voted on. So let's say we bring Representative Salem up on charges for the
I'm going to actually cut you off because you're not answering my question. What is the question is there besides suspension?
Can I respond?
I don't think there is none in that, but the problem.
Well,
15 seconds.
That's a very simple way of doing it. So that's the question that we have to ask as far as everyone's case today. We all recite that pledge at the beginning of our hour.
It's an oath.
And a lot of times it's thought that some of the assembly members have breached that pledge. Should we just ignore it? Should we just say,
Speaker Stein's expired, Flanagan's going.
And that's what maybe it thinks so. So how can we? What is the appropriate for us? I would love suggestions instead of you just pointing out the right time. This is a discussion. It's a collaborative discussion.
All right, I'm cutting you off because your time's expired. Let's keep in mind also, Ryan is here. This is a typical case of don't shoot the messenger. Ryan here is... but Ryan is here to be taking down feedback and receiving feedback from the assembly, not kind of engaging people in debate. Exactly. Wang. Guy, can you give those back? Okay, he's got one.
Thanks, Ryan, for being the messenger. Hope you weren't cheating out too much. But anyway, so... I think there's a lot of other things that the judicial committee, and that it could help check to make sure that the essay itself is keeping with its charter, like following its charter. Because, like, I don't want to compare it to the United States, but it's a good example to follow and keep that year strong. And like the judicial, I think more potential for the judicial branch to also be a chance to check up on the SA, make sure it's not breaking any rules, and that it can overturn rules when the SA decides to, if the SA does break its own charter rules. Because it should, if it wants to break its own rules, it should be changing the charter, not breaking them by a resolution.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Also keep in mind, so this is a document of suggestions that assumes charter changes and resolution form have to follow.
1 minute.
There's a lot of ideas in here that you just implement, but they just put the charter up. this judicial bias in the form of respect of standing open public hearing. Thank you. It's my continued list for me, so I have now a new idea. Okay, so, yeah, those are all good points. Just so you understand, again, if any of the initiatives weren't implemented, it would have to be
a response.
Thank you. Thank you.
Asa.
Thank you, Ryan, for our questions. I think being a little bit more productive is to move back to Q1 here and go over to see kind of hash all this out.
Juan's not the only one who worked on this document.
Okay, perfect. Then all of our questions should have been. So my main question then is, we're talking a lot about attention and everything, and we don't need to go into that. Can you give me an example of a situation where a student on the student assembly could be called immediately under review, whoever is beside the line?
Right now? I mean, like, under our current procedures?
Sure. Well, we're talking about the judicial branch. Who would be the first, who would be the people that would decide? Is it, say, another student on the assembly, or?
There were a bunch of ideas that were thrown around, again. There was the idea of it being an absolute third party, so no one saying no. Perhaps a parliamentarian who doesn't have a voting right, something like that. Then it would be on the right here, or that wasn't very much an internal committee of all the assembly members. And then the other thing, we also propose the top mix, just like any other committee we had, as anyone and community members. So all of those were proposed.
Yeah. I think that we should look into doing for this discussion is to have sort of a building where if we do establish this community, there should be some essay representation.
1 minute.
There should be an internal election sort of thing where people are representing all of us and are trusting this individual to sort of uphold judicial ethics or whatever we want to call it. Also, I think what we should look into doing right here is instead of just having a committee call for my every review, there should be an ability for another student assembly member to recommend to this judicial community that sort of situation. So we don't get it so that our voices aren't necessarily heard. We don't want to keep that
out. 15 seconds.
I think we really need to analyze this suspension issue, this removal of a voice from the student assembly, and I'm sure we can work that out in the future.
Rami.
Yeah, one of the questions that was brought up a good point is about the negatives of possibly assigning this duty to the JA because they're not really familiar with the inner workings of the SA and such. But in response to that, I really like the idea of having perhaps a third outside mediator not connected with the student assembly at all. And regarding whether they're going to do something, I think like maybe in situations such as this, maybe it's worth the wait if we're going to take like such drastic measures suspending someone. And I mean, I refer to an example of the recent elections, you know, the unmuffling was consulted and things like that. So I feel like the JA is just playing an integral role.
Ashley.
So in terms of the third party thing, I think the only issue there is they wouldn't be elected, so it's going to be like, where are they coming from, who would they pick from the side? I thought the only issue, so it would really be like a student voting thing, so maybe if they can be voted on, the third party would be good. But my suggestion is maybe not creating a whole other committee, because I don't anticipate there would be like a lot of these going on, like every week, but just maybe having some kind of like impeachment process, like so, I mean, not necessarily just suspension of people, but, you know, maybe impeachment is too strong of a word, but like the students on the assembly or outside the assembly can bring up some issues they've seen with a certain assembly member, and then we would all vote on it. Do we do that?
Yes.
Wait, so
there's a recall process for assembly members, and then if the assembly at large would like to recall any member of the executive board, it requires two-thirds of the members. For non-assembly members, then there's a petition process, a vote at large, and then there is a process outlined in the charter.
Okay. Okay, so if the assembly member couldn't bring out, like, that someone filed something, and then we can all vote on it? Okay. I would say that maybe that would be a good suggestion for student assembly members to be able to do that. That would be another suggestion. I don't know if a whole committee, like, we're going to be voting on it eventually anyway, and I just feel like unnecessary. Yeah.
15 seconds.
Just to clarify, you mentioned the JAC enrollment. I mean, actually, most of the content that such a provider and the team stuff that the JAC would take it, we would like to have it. This is for stuff, ethical issues, and other such issues that would not come across.
Sandy.
So issues have come up within just this year, and we try to give that up, but it's deemed inappropriate, and it's such issues that we didn't have enough data to use.
Sandy. Give Brian. Go ahead. Yeah. Ryan, why don't you respond to that? Go ahead.
Thank you for your input. Can you just get those things going to market?
That's fine. Let's move on. Does anyone else want to speak for the first time? All right. Going on to the second speaker's list, I mean, these are the last four on this issue, and then we're going to move on. NASDAQ, Ahmed, Guy, Rami. NASDAQ first.
On page 14 of the charter review document, we actually suggested the change where we call both by students at large and by some members, such as very high standards. For some members, we need to recall them, and almost impossible to remember. But if you got to a point where someone was that outrageous, the summary of them just recall those changes that the charter review approved. So that's in our vision, which means you guys are looking at that. That aside, I think that it's clear that anything that can't be sort of violation, even if it's members of this body against each other, you can go to the J, because that's the person equipped to handle that now. Ethical issues, I agree with you, because I know there's been people throughout these past years that I've been here that have violated those laws, like you said. What I would suggest is, I don't know, I think the third party, this committee potentially should include the students' members because they're aware of the way that some of the officers have a caveat that says they don't just include someone from the executive because their officers and other kinds of charges are brought against them or the individual someone because they are in the initial role. And I think e-boards, if you're in the past, oftentimes can go to a group thing. It's not something that's wrong, it's just something that happens. So it's fine for the e-board members to come back. I think that what that body should be able to do is either like verbally recommending if they want to be coming or bring up the fact that this was brought to the committee and the committee reviewed it and actually found be a violation of the First Amendment of the public. And if there is a violation of the ethics code or whatever, you know, the committee is going to be working off of, that should be made public. And also, if it's an officer of the assembly, the committee should recommend to the assembly, these are the findings, what you can do.
30 seconds.
You can remove them from their office, you can have a vote of no confidence in them, et cetera. And lastly, if the body finds a problem with someone who's either an officer or an assembly member, but it's probably more than just regular assembly members, if the charter change gets approved, make them aware of the recall procedure. If it's that, if it's that agreement, if they go to the recall procedure, if he leaves to do it by voting as a member, just like our charter change, by voting as a member or by the students at large, if you want to pursue it against this person. But the one thing I don't think is that body should be able to remove anyone who spoke on this assembly. That's the one thing I don't think happens. If you ask a suggestion, I would call for a suggestion to look at the exam instead of moving to the spoke.
Speaker's time. All right, Ahmed.
I'm also going to give you a couple of suggestions. I think that there should be an appeals process outside of the student assembly. If the members of the committee on student assembly, i.e. the ombudsman, should appeal and say whether it's a violation, the finding of the committee is within the rules. Because the ombudsman is non-partisan, while the committee might be. I think another thing you might want to consider is setting a standard at a very high, clear and convincing evidence or something, since we're talking to the proceedings here. And that setting the vote that 2/3 of the committee members, as opposed to majority of the committee members, find the violation. And then, again, the only thing I would echo is I would suggest that you do not let whoever maybe we suggest a change, I would be very much in opposition to something like taking an internal affairs committee, whatever title you want to put on it, to spend a member even for a minute of a super summer meeting. No one should be able to do that unless it's a recall procedure that we approve of it. Like, if they've been elected people, even if they're unopposed, they technically have been elected. And the fact of the matter is they have the right to vote, and we should not just be taken away by, the few of 3 or 4 committee members, even for one minute of that meeting. So that's only an obligation.
10 seconds.
Everything else, those are suggestions for you, perhaps, if you get the time to pursue it, those suggestions I know.
Guy, last speaker.
All right, just a little bit of preamble, and I think this is sort of going along with what Representative Asbury said. This body would not be a proactive body. It would only function when something is brought before it. So it would say, Representative X did this, and then this body would take a look at that. To sort of address what you said earlier, Ahmed, about Representative Green brought up for personal matters, when whatever committee this would be called takes a look at that, they would see that it's a personal matter and they would dismiss it. Yeah, it's legitimacy to pretty much everything. That's a sweeping statement, so. But it has legitimacy. Okay, but it brings some sort of legitimacy. It's not us trolling around looking for things to trip people up on. Second thing, this idea of suspension is just a suggestion. What we're looking at right now is a small paragraph in an analysis that talks about different things. We're talking about the issue of a committee right now, or an issue of a judicial arm. We're not talking about the procedures that would go into this. So keep that in mind. Again, echoing what Representative Asbury said, having a parliamentarian as the chair of this is an awful idea. The parliamentarian right now is on the executive board. It should be some sort of third party or some sort of more neutral body than what we have in place right now. And with whatever time I had left, I was going to see if Dean Hubble wanted to talk, but
he left.
Is he on the phone or something?
No, he's in a meeting. On the whole thing or just this?
I actually detected this still on the floor. So, Ryan, do you have anything else to add to sort of close up?
Yeah, I'll just close up. So, there's things like.
10 seconds.
There's strong reservations about. Impeachment process is not asking anyone that we're losing voting rights about that. There's a sentiment that it should be a third party, that would come to the assembly.
Speaker's time has expired. Just keep going. Yeah, I know you are. Keep going. Summing up.
As well, that interrelated, probably not just as well as JA or a budget, if they would be able to go
Moving on to the next item within SWAT.
It's the last page. We've been selling this legislative bill. So, a lot of these bills just probably come to mind quickly. So, the city of Summit is in charge of providing legislative 4% of the city's office and division of SWAT. And I guess in the past, there have been resolutions that some of SWAT have been out of the legislative authority. Many, some of the committee feel that anything that comes from the assembly needs to be heard, and if it's irrelevant, we'll vote it down. Others think that it should, and perhaps the body is thinking that we're wasting our time. I'm not going to say my opinion. So if it's appropriate to at least discuss what is their name, or at least have to decide whether or not we should be doing something or not, I suppose that the chair can not recognize an item and so choose something wrong.
I don't think I can do that. And then the solution, the student assembly should begin a discussion about what is considered fair game for assembly discourse. The student assembly must recognize that resolutions and discussion periods should be limited only to those subjects that will directly affect undergraduates and their Cornell experience. That's right. Ahmed?
Yeah, I'm just curious. So what's the suggestion?
Again, it isn't a legislation or a resolution.
Then I know what's the suggestion. What's the suggested change so that only resolutions that will directly affect the Cornell undergraduate?
No, I'm sorry, let me just phrase it wrong. The question is, what do assembly members say as an explicit input?
Yes.
What do you think? Should there be any process of filtering material that possibly is
I'll give you my personal opinion. I think it should be like put the task, like I would agree with the people who decided on the side of putting it in the task of coming to the assembly. I think we should hear every resolution that an assembly member would try to bring. I mean, there are rules in the past that I thought we didn't have a scope to discuss, like, you know, prohibiting Iran from having nuclear weapons. I don't think I had any power to do that. So, but nonetheless, majority of the members that year felt it was appropriate. I think you were on some of your right.
I was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What fun that was.
What's that?
No, okay. Just keep going.
And they felt it was appropriate to actually discuss that. But as bad as that was, I still think like it should leave up to them. It should be up to the assembly members to bring resolution. It definitely, I don't know what process we could set in place to eliminate. I think if you set any sort of problem, definitely should not be the chair's discretion. That's out of the question for me. And definitely should not be the executive board's discretion. That's out of the question for me, too. But if there is anything, perhaps establishing an up and or down goal on whether this within the SA's power. But the only problem with that suggestion is that SA members might choose to kill a resolution by that type of a goal. Because they don't
want
to take a step versus because it actually doesn't apply to
court.
Right.
I think
time has expired.
That was brought up, and maybe one suggestion, if I'm remembering correctly, when you get the agenda of the listserv, if you see something that you just think is irrelevant on the legislative scope, the idea was to create the intention of, I guess, the EBP, and then the first thing on the agenda would be to vote for whether or not to hear that. It was just a process that was suggested.
Ask that.
I know this was a while ago when we had to try to read through, but I think we briefly addressed this issue last year with the change that I proposed in this document on page 2, where we said that to me that the biggest talent point of the regulations of Cooper for this body is Article 1, 3, because the SOR has the authority and responsibility to examine any matters which involve the interest or concern the welfare of the student community, to make proposals concerning those issues to the appropriate officers or decision-making bodies of the university. And Resolution 31 of last year's assembly brought, the resolution was basically trying to remove the words of the university. they're living in the past. So I think that's one more time that should say that of the university should stay in there. Also, as you know, we go down all these charter change recommendations unanimously. We change the definition of recommendation. And the definition of recommendation now reads, quote, the recommendation to the current assembly, recommendation of the action of the FA to initiate discussion, deliberation, and a vote on any question relating to or affecting undergraduate life or any other question of interest to undergraduates. This is while still being under the course of said decision making by the university. So to me, I think that helps to clarify and make it clear what issues we can and cannot hear. And one thing I'm about to do
30 seconds.
I guess one thing I would foresee is I have a feeling that we so out of the ballpark, except for the resolution 29 years ago, that we would have to put some sort of litmus test to see if it's appropriate. But I don't really think it's just going to be the keyboard or the chair to make that call. So that could be something to explore. We should do some sort of litmus test, but I think the problems that I've talked about, the more problems with that kind of litmus test, then the sort of the negative of allowing the resolution 29 to come through once in a while. So I think it's fine the way it is.
Speaker time has expired. Vince?
I just wanted to give my input and reasoning, just because of why not, for why any sort of announcement of resolutions are kind of problematic. Because the student assembly itself does not have any sovereignty. We're just recognized by the Cornell administration as a student voice. So, while perhaps the student administrator, like the Cornell administrator, might give our resolution warrant and merit by what we write, and the resolutions themselves, they might feel are the voice of students. There's nothing of standing saying that New York State doesn't view our resolutions with any warrant or merit. It's just the people that we write who have to give a warrant or merit because we can't enforce our resolutions. We don't have a standing army. We don't have sovereignty. So it's kind of hard to say we are going to make sure these resolutions are the only ones that can come forward because they're the ones that can be enforced, and we really can't enforce anything.
One minute.
That's kind of the caveat to the whole argument, that there's really no point to having a litmus test because it's really the administration who has to ultimately respect our world.
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, the focus of the discussion of the committee what the legislative scope is in a charter on paper. It is the division of campus life and the student public is not your state policy and justice in America. I mean, that would be, yes, of course, what I'm saying. It's focused on where it should be
Basil.
We talked a lot about this, or we listened a lot about this actually on Tuesday, and then we were sure.
You start citing those now.
I know. Jim Engel talking a lot about the UA, but it pertains to us a lot too, in the sense that in his mind, from a legal point of view, the documents, we really have a collaborative responsibility with both administration, student groups, or voluntary groups, and everything else, where it's not us dictating or legislating the administration or the students and student groups. It's us working with them to accomplish things. So that's something that we keep in mind.
And I would recommend that before the semester is over, that Ryan, Chris, and I, and a couple, anyone who's interested, meet with Jim Mingle, who's the Secretary of the Corporation and University Council, to discuss things that he sees the Assembly doing and kind of defines what his beliefs are on student government and that sort of thing. But that's an aside. Ryan, do you want to respond?
No, that's
fine. Anyone else to speak for the first time? You also speak for the second time. All right.
Oh, I have a question.
Sure, Vince.
We are all elected people, so I think by the students electing us, they kind of sort of trust that we're going to discuss topics of merit and value. So this one's fine.
All right, and with that, I think discussion, we got through two topics.
Those are the two particular ones that I need to get feedback. He also said that I know some people want to really get some money that we discuss last week, like the structure of student meetings. It's up to you. So I guess just anything, if anyone wants to suggest something before we
I think we're going to do this next week, too.
I have a suggestion. I would like to discuss the stuff.
But we're going to do that next week?
I mean, we can.
I mean, we have stuff to do. I have no problem.
We're not voting on it right, and we have feedback. Why don't we move on, and then we'll come back to this next week. We still have two more meetings after this. And then, if there's nothing, if we're not able to discuss it, Ahmed, then please feel free to put your comments in writing, and that goes for anyone, but we'll add it. But we will try to get to it next week. No, no. I think if there were, if it would ever come to a vote, it would be yes or no. Are we going to give this document to the executive board? But it's going to be done anyway.
Can I?
Yeah.
No. We will probably never vote on this. This is a document of that people have participated, alumni, staff, students. This is not a student assembly document. This is a, you know, so it wouldn't be appropriate. It's designed to give this to the executive board, to the assembly next year as a resource.
Right. It will be given to the assembly. Okay. That's fine. Thank you for clarifying. Next is the class council's constitution approval. I'm stepping down as chair. Go ahead.
Okay. Ms. Hartman, thank you for presenting the constitution and its changes. You have 5 minutes to discuss them.
They had class council went through a very enumerated process before we got here today to come to you. We went through our documents in depth, and each of our councils, 2008, 9, 10, 11, voted on the constitutional changes, and I believe they all unanimously voted for the changes that came forward. So this is me going to do this, me and the last council presenting our changes. There's a document that says class council constitution changes that kind of goes over them briefly. So the one that we're proposing that we're changing our constitution is clarifying attendance policy to an objective process. What it was occurring currently in our constitution was if you miss two consecutive meetings, then the executive board could determine if those meetings were excused or unexcused. What we found is because the process was subjective for excuse and unexcuse, e-board members would vote based on friendship in that process. So we wanted to make it more objective. We renamed the VP program into EDP so the title deserves more merit. We enumerated the process for vacancy of the presidency. We put a clear explanation for class council election procedures. And then there's a full in-depth changes in our procedures that's on page 15 of 20 of the class council constitution changes. We went into what regular meetings, what other meetings are. We include what quorum is. We discuss what proxy votes are. We discuss what the general debate and conduct would be of class council. Currently, it's just up to the chair to determine the meeting itself and the agenda. We felt that they gave way too much discretion to the chair, so we allowed the chair to set how the conduct of the meeting will proceed. But at any point, two members could motion to have a parliamentary procedure enacted. We felt this would be a protection if anyone felt that sort of gross inaccuracy was occurring during the meeting. We include a process for how our email policy is going to be set forward in the procedure that's on 16 to 20. The process that we have in the it's just kind of
2 minutes.
We're putting the unofficial procedure in the document. We briefly changed the amendment policy. We redefined the membership of the convocation committee. That's on page 18 to 20. Because the convocation chair is now being chosen in the fall of junior year, it was necessary to change the actual members. So the members will include those active members of class councils that are active members when the committee is formed, and the juniors with student assembly when the committee is formed. And we also wanted to have a more diverse input in the committee itself, because we felt this year we didn't have enough of an opinion from students that aren't leaders per se. So we are going to send out an email once the committee is formed, and we'll have an application process. It'll be just simple. And the convocation chair and the junior class president will work to create a diverse committee of 15 members. So we're trying to get more of the Cornell, the J
junior class more involved than just class councils and student assembly. And then we also, if you have any questions, please bring them up. We're bringing forward the contributions because Appendix B, Clause 3, Section M, we have to bring forward the contributions for your approval.
Thank you, Vince. First in the speaker's list, Representative Asprey.
Thank you. This is two questions for you. Page 1, membership, Article 3, requirements for active membership. We have that as a third bullet point. It says the members who are active in previous academic year should be considered active. Those are just non-e-board members, right?
That is correct.
Okay. And one other question for you. Is there any reason why...
That would consider e-board members too if they were voted out of office. They just didn't hold their position. They're still active members of class councils. You can't run for e-board position unless you're active members.
Okay, thank you.
CJ.
Vince, on page 18 of the responsibilities of convocation chair, it says at the time the committee is formed and those 15 members selected by the convocation chair. But then if you go down to the next bullet point, it says with the convocation chair and class president. For consistency's sake, I think it should read in the first bullet point, at the time the committee is formed and those 15 members selected by the convocation chair and the class president. Can we, so I motion to amend the charter. What?
So
you'll note it.
You can't
class councils is a part of the Division of Dean of Students, and the Student Assembly has legislative oversight over anything through the Dean of Students office.
You actually have no legislative authority to change our constitution. In Appendix B, we just bring forward a constitution for approval. You can't amend it.
You're wrong, but okay.
Vince, did you? You said you were going to correct that. Thank you. Next, we're not. He okay, but it's a moot point because he's changing it. So we're going to move on
as long as it's clarified.
Representative A. Salem.
Thank you, Mark. I'm actually very happy with the fact that I'm happy the way you changed the convocation committee. I think the convocation committee process was pretty bad the past couple of years, so I'm very happy to try to find things out around that. With that said, I also want to ask you a couple of questions. One, why I guess input from Dean of Students and the Vice President of SAS, some members can be appointed with compensation of the chair. Like, I don't understand why.
We left that in because if the convocation committee by the end of junior year, by the rule, is supposed to have speaker chosen by the spring now of the junior year, if by the start of senior year they did not have so, we felt seniors of the student assembly could enter that process. So we really just want to go into the
the other question I had for you, why is the convocation chair still not publicly elected?
Because the convocation chair is, it does do work, but it's partly in fun too.
Thank you.
Part or in fun. So it's in part to elect an honorary position.
No. If it's an honor of the classmen, there was one of the members. Should it be like six people in a room deciding like who gets that quote unquote
1 minute
as opposed to the entire membership of the class? Like, I'm not gonna vote against this constitution for it, but I think it doesn't have an autonomy I should express for the record, like, I think it's so ludicrous that you guys try to really gain this like inner club mentality and like have like this, closed room meeting with like the convocation chair, as opposed to have a class like the convocation chair. And the convocation chair is one of the most important people. They pick who speaks to graduate. I mean, they not like themselves, but they do most of the ball board to see who speaks to graduation. At my understanding, they get to be on stage human graduation. There's a lot of, they technically represent the class as the class president, yet it's fixed in this ridiculous manner.
10 seconds. Speaker's time has expired. Is there anyone that would like to be in the first speaker's list before we move on to the second? We're in the second. First speaker's list. Okay. Last second. Call questions or a second?
Second.
All right. We just need a majority to approve class council constitution, and we'll do a hand vote. Please raise your hand if you're in favor of approving the class council constitution. You move for a roll call vote. That's fine. I'll just accept that. Yes. I apologize. Of course. 2 minutes.
3 to 5.
I kind of want to just talk about occupancy. Another problem is we wish the convocation chair to be chosen in junior year in the fall. So we have elections occur right now in the spring, and they go in concurrent to the student assembly.
Point of information, if someone ran for the chair, if someone ran in the spring of the sophomore year, when they became a junior in that fall?
I'm sorry, the spring of their sophomore year, that should be true. And it was also the elected positions are e-board positions, so to do so would have to make a convocation chair an e-board position from their junior year to their senior year. But it is possible to do such a thing. So we'll put that into consideration for the people that are not comfortable. Thank you all. But besides that, all of our changes, I believe, are pretty straightforward.
1 minute.
And I ask for you guys to simply vote for us.
Okay. Thank you, Vince. The clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Not here.
Yes. Abstain.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
You return?
Yeah.
Abstain. What did you have? 13-0 to 4 we have? Okay. It passes. Passes anyway. Thank you, Vince.
Here it is. Moving on to the next item of the agenda. Great timing, Adam. Appendix B discussion and resolution 22. Good. By Vice President Gay.
That's good.
Thank you. Did you get it? So what items have we discussed yet?
I believe you were going to discuss athletic geometry in addition to FASD.
And thanks to Liz for putting these together and making sure the document is well formatted. Thank you very much.
Best clerk ever. Here he is.
Okay, against athletics, the breakdown is $3.85 for marketing and promotion, campus-wide, and $6.10 in total directed towards tickets, so that includes the good sports pass and free admission to homecoming for everyone. So I would recommend that we add a, if you want to insert that, Zach, as mentioned last week, those are the breakdowns, and so if you want to add a number 4. There. Otherwise, let's just go ahead and start.
NASDAQ.
$385 for marketing and promotion, $6.10 for Big Go Sports Pass.
I thought, that could be wrong, but I thought there was 3 numbers.
Well, we had broken it down further into Big Go Sports Pass and then homecoming,
right.
But since that's both towards tickets, we just make, it doesn't make sense to throw another number.
What was the
other
one?
Is it a dollar? I thought it was a dollar. A dollar for Big Red Sports Pass, $5.10 for Big Red Sports Pass, $1 for homecoming, and $3.85 for marketing promotions.
If you want to break it down like that, but
I'm not positive. But
was definitely three numbers.
It was well, yeah, but 6, 10, 3, and 5. And my, if you, your concern, I believe, is that you wanted to cap the amount that could be spent on marketing promotion.
Right.
So if you wanted to ensure that they can spend no more than $3.85 on marketing promotion.
Sorry. Sure.
I'm going to move to just amend all three of these. Actually, I don't see a reason to add number four. I think that it should just be like after each number. Each one seems to be big number. One seems to be good sports pass. Two seems to be homecoming. Three seems to be sports marketing. So I guess at the end of number one, I'm going to amend this to say number $5.10 for sports allocation.
Now, Zach, we just found out that homecoming was 120. So it was 120 homecoming,
490
and 385.
Okay, thank you. So we can say that after appendix number one, it says no more than $4.90 is the total athletic. No more than $4.90 is the total athletic allocation may be spent on providing the no cost big red sports passes. Can I say all of them or get all the time to do that?
Yeah, say them all. We won't count against you.
Say one more time.
No more than $4.90 of the total athletic allocation may be spent at providing.
Maybe spent for providing no cost. Does that
really seem necessary, though, for the first two? Because obviously, since these things are being provided to us, there's just like really need to limit it.
It's an issue of consistency. Athletics
have
a problem with passes. Moving money around the budget, aside from that, we do it for all the other groups.
For most groups, a lot of groups, we don't do it. But
classes graduate.
Exactly. That's what I keep quoting.
But number two, it says all the students who get to homecoming will cost. $1.25
You want to articulate after each one, no more than whatever number that is of the total athletics allocation may be spent towards providing, and then whatever that line was.
The only thing I have to say is actually no more than $1.20 of the total allocation per student at that end. It sounds like it would be $1.20 to pay for. Like per student, that much of the allocation per student. Does that make sense?
Per undergraduate student, not present, right?
Right.
Okay.
Per undergraduate
student.
Oh, yeah.
You can take
a smart
people. All right. So.
Point of information, we say like $1.25 shall be allocated for the both sets. So do you think you just keep that same?
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll ask for the second, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? There is none, so the amendment is there. Moving on.
Which one is this?
This is the decide.
Read it.
Okay, after each point. So the first amendment is no more than $4.90 per student of the total athletics allocation may be spent.
Per student.
Per student, yes. I said per undergraduate student. Of the total athletics allocation may be spent towards providing the big red sports pass. Part two, all students must be admitted to homecoming at no cost. No more than $1.20 per undergraduate student of the total athletics allocation may be spent towards providing homecoming at no cost. Part three, in collaboration with the sports marketing group, the athletics department will promote Cornell athletics events to the entire Cornell community. No more than $3.85 per undergraduate student of the total athletic allocation may be spent towards providing marketing and promotion.
Dissent.
Now you see also
I just want to thank you.
Go ahead.
I think Vince said it. That's way too wordy. Let's make it consistent. Why can't we do it how class councils does it? Outlines it in a very efficient way. That's a lot of crap.
One of the permissions, there's something like a little bit, like you already said that.
They were unclear.
That's fine, but if you said the amendment passed.
Do you motion overrule a decision of the chair that I said it was passed, or?
Point of information, the only way to overturn a vote for Robert's rules and for our charter is if every member of the assembly.
Really? You really doing
that? Yeah, really. That's what the rules say.
Right? See, no, I'm not saying really that.
They were clearly, they were unclear as to what it was, and when I said, okay, it appears as if it passes, they came back and said, no, wait, what did it say? And I came back and read it, and then they said they dissented.
Yeah, that's fine. I have no problem with that. All the things, they just have to make an emotion to
as opposed to just dissenting. It's not that they're dissenting on amendments. Now they're taking out something that's already there. You already said
what?
We may review the minutes if we really have to. I mean,
you made me do it with minutes. You said I would have to go back in motion to change the dead motion to remove it.
Could the clerk read like that?
All right.
I mean, they would like to
fine.
May.
Next on the speaker's list is Ryan.
I motioned to remove what was just said, and do I have to propose the exact wording of the
remove what was said and then say.
And then say
no more than X amount can be spent.
No, I just want to say what's the dollar, what's the $1.20 of the allocation shall be used for homecoming. What's this
amount? $3.85.
$3.85 of the athletics allocation shall be used for the sports marketing group, keeping the rest of that context. What's the Big Red Sports? $4.90 of the athletics allocation should be used for the Big Red Sports Pass, including the rest of the context. So it's a lot more efficient.
So Claire, you're striking these out, and then you're just saying, no, what are you saying?
Number one, $4.90 of the athletics department allocation shall provide blah, 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 blah. Number two, $1.20.
With
$1.20 of the athletics allocation, of the athletics department allocation, all students must be admitted to homecoming at no cost. With $3.85 of the athletics department allocation, per undergraduate, the sports marketing group, the sports marketing group will be funded, and yada yada.
Is there a second to Vice President Lavin's motion?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Second.
That's about it.
All right. Opening.
The final passage means
two-thirds. Right. All right. We will open up the speakers list. The first speakers list. All right. Now, Zach.
Okay, so believe the crack class council said that that way. Many of the other groups say it with no more than. I think no more than is much more appropriate language, especially in the past. In the past, athletics has been dealing with even money between the accounts. Yes, they have been. In the past minutes, they have been. I think those who are doing it in the past. So I think it's much more appropriate to say no more than this much. It clearly says what it's looking for and then other allocations. I don't think wording is the reason to change this. I think they'd be a different way to project this. Is
I'm going to call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, all in favor of calling
roll call
the...
Roll.
On a roll call.
Charter,
fine.
This is just an amendment.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. I'm sorry. That's
fine. So you're okay with the hand vote?
Yeah.
All in favor of Vice President Lavin's modification, please raise your hand. Amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Motion passes. Moving on. Anyone else with speakers list?
This is for athletics as a whole. Correct, TJ?
Yes. Achman.
Can you speak to the I thought the levels was going to be good to talk about hockey.
Adam, do you want to answer that?
Well, my understanding is CJ spoke with Andy Noel, the director of athletics, and the consensus was that this is something they want to work on, something they're trying to do. We can't stipulate it at this point.
No,
we can't.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to understand what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is we sent live meeting, athletics would be invited to get this meeting. Where are they?
I'm not sure. Were they contacted?
No, they weren't.
Okay.
I was very good.
Is
there a motion to table athletics until next week? Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Second.
Vice President Gay.
There's no need to bring back athletics at this point. Everything that has been discussed and has been discussed, there's nothing that's on the table that we have to confer. If you want to meet with him, I'm sure CJ, again, would be happy to try to set up something, try to schedule something with Andy, the busy guy, for the next couple of weeks.
Well,
What?
I
didn't get around to it. Sorry. He's busy. All in favor of tabling this until next week, please raise your hand. All opposed. I vote a 4 to 12. The motion fails. Continuing on with athletics. Vice President Kay.
I motion to approve of this portion, letter A, in section 4, as it is, just like we did last week when we broke it down. We go to the afternoon, we can go on and discuss SAFC.
Fine.
So this is the two-thirds.
Is there a motion to call a question on the first part, with which describes athletics funding allocation? Is
so
there a
A,
second?
A1, A2, and A3.
A1, A2, A3. Is there any dissent?
How many things to pass? 15, right?
15 of the 22, yes. All right. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes.
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 Pass.
Yep.
Yes.
No.
No.
Matthews.
Matthews.
Yes.
Pass.
Now. Hi. Seeing that this has to go in somehow, we have to continue discussing this because there's no stipulate. We can't revert back to old rules because they're not in there.
Let me just clarify.
Go ahead.
If we don't insert athletics, they just won't be included in here, and there'll be no stipulations on their funding. So if we don't, if this isn't approved, there's just going to be no stipulations whatsoever, and that's fine. Other groups, it's not completely.
There are groups that do not have any stipulations.
Correct. It's not necessary to be in there. So.
First on the speaker's list is Mazdak.
What should you remove what Ryan said and put that in the
language? Can you be specific about what Ryan said?
Oh, that's true. Mine's already in. I'm sorry.
Ryan's passed. It's still part of the legislation. The legislation just happened to pass. It's part of the act of
doctrine. I just have a question for you.
Yep.
We have to keep voting on this until we pass something to change, right? Or until, because otherwise the whole version has to be passed. Because you've made, you recommend the changes. There have been changes, amendments that have been passed. So there's an amendment to the act of doctrine right now. So we need to keep voting until something actually happens. We can't just revert back to the old one. Is that right?
Right. The part of the active document is what Lavin said.
Right.
After Lavin's amendment, that's what's in the active document right,
right
now.
So can we
with $4.90, the athletics department shall provide at no cost, et cetera, et cetera, Big Red Sports Pass.
Okay, so that
yes. So you now move to say no more than $4.90 per undergraduate instead of the total athletics allocation, et cetera, respectively, for the next three portions, correct? Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none.
Actually, point of information. Point of information.
Yes.
Can you bring up, is it within Robert's rules to bring up the exact same amendment, which has already been voted on?
Okay.
The exact same wording?
You can't, once it's been voted on, you can't bring up exactly the same thing.
I just
changed the location here just for undergraduate
students.
What did you just change?
You had undergraduate students in different part of the after that
allocation. All right. No more than $4.90 of total athletic allocation per undergraduate student, correct? Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, that's now part of the document.
Congratulations. Yep. Two more weeks awesome. Here at Cornell, and this is what we're doing.
Um,
I just want to say I'm not going to move the table again, but I'm just really curious as to why people are hesitant to bring in athletics here. TJ, can you tell me why?
Achman, I apologize. I have 18 credits. I'm the president of the student assembly, and I have many obligations. Okay.
No, I have no problem.
I just didn't get around to it. I'm sorry.
So the question is, if we gave you time, would you be able to get around to it?
I mean, I potentially. I don't know.
Can I just speak to you?
No, you can't speak because it's my time. I just don't understand. Like, we're doing something for the undergraduate community. Like, hockey is a big issue. They were willing to discuss it. Are we just like made like that? Okay, if I promise to be the one to go to the athletics in Athens come next week, is that a legitimate promise I can make? And then ask the student assembly members to please table this for next week. I don't understand. It's in service to the undergraduate community. It's not like you're hurting them. And I don't understand why you're hesitating to bring them here to speak about bringing in benefits to the Cornell community. That's what I really don't understand why it's in the subdivision. It's a good group. I mean,
yeah.
To add to that, there's no reason that the athletics department needs to come here. It took us a month to try to finalize the schedule where they can speak to us last semester because they're actually busy. In the last 2 weeks of school, we can't just say, oh, yeah, stop by our meeting at some point. We'll throw you on. We can talk about it. And secondly, there's nothing that is needed to be discussed. Everything that has been discussed, you brought it up to them last semester. CJ went to them, met with them about this 2 weeks ago, and he said he'll look into it, he'll do as much as possible, and that's where it stands. Look into it. It's not going to be inserted into our opinion. It doesn't belong here, and it just won't be there. And so for us, there's nothing for him to come discuss. He's already looking at it, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Point of information.
That's all there is.
Can you? Yeah, it's a question. Can you, like, theoretically, if this discussion was to end successfully for the undergraduate student body, I don't know, in the fall, in September, can you go back and change Appendix B to a resolution form in next semester?
Yeah, yes. Part of the charter. Okay.
Thank you.
There's no one else on the speaker's list. I'm calling a question.
Second,
there was a motion. Is there any dissent? Yes.
Yes.
My proposal is that we include the exact sports that were listed on the athletic team sports be part of the Big Red Sports Pass. Men's basketball is one of those sports, and I don't want them to get rid of that even though it became popular.
All in favor of calling a question, please raise your hand. All opposed. All right. Next on the speaker's list is Vince.
As I said, we have the exact sport that was discussed during the Big Red Sports Pass.
Well, but not.
That we're going to be part of it.
No, so.
As an aside, when I spoke to Andy Noel 2 weeks ago, he said he was very excited as a result of the success of basketball that students would be coming. There's no reason to believe that basketball would be taken out of the Big Red Sports
Pass. Your conversations with him, are they part of the charter?
No.
Can I also respond to that?
What are you talking
my,
about?
My understanding is
point
we
of,
can't.
Point
we
of
can't.
Order,
can't
out of order, not in time to speak.
Vince, right?
Vince, wait a
minute. Wait a second. Wait a second.
So my
we can't mandate.
Point of order. Could you please rule him out of order?
Vince, go ahead. Stop yelling at him.
I would like to make an amendment that says the Big Red Sports Pass shall include the following sports, and those sports shall be what was discussed during the bond funding process that was to be concluded.
Can you put that into wording that could so?
I wonder what the sports are.
Whatever. Okay.
Whatever.
That's fine. He's made an amendment. So your amendment reads, go then.
The Big Red Sports Pass.
Hold on. The Big Red Sports Pass
shall include the following sports.
You're going to list all of them.
Yes.
Free attendance to the following.
It will include free attendance to the following sports.
Go ahead. You got a list?
I told you. I don't know them off the top of my head. I would like to present it to me.
Someone have a list. Liz, can you look up every varsity athletic sport at Cornell?
It's not every because men's football is included.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think that.
No, men's football is not included. Neither was men's varsity hockey.
Hockey. How is that included?
Well, that's my point.
Could I also make a point that
no,
we can't
hold
mandate
on, hold on,
that
hold on,
the bigger...
No, when we voted for that case right before the pass, it was the idea that these were the sports that was going to be part of it. If athletics next year decides that they want to include men's basketball as not part of the bigger sports, then I find that very problematic.
And I think the next year is similar.
Okay.
No. All right,
we're not opening up the... As much fun as this is, Jack. Amy, do you have something... Division of Cornell University, and according to the Big Red Sports Pass, admission to all Big Red home sporting events excludes men's ice hockey and playoff games. Representative Hartman is completely incorrect about men's football.
If men's football is not incorrect, then why would we have to include free homecoming?
Because people
it was,
not
it was
the, getting the Big Red Sports
Pass. Yeah, exactly. Not everyone can get if you don't get the Big
Everybody
Red Sports
can.
Pass, but yeah. You have the opportunity to get a Big Red Sports Pass in the first week or two of school or however, whatever the deadline is. But if you don't
and I would like my amendment to say the Big Red Sports Pass shall include free admission to all our
admission or attendance, because you said attendance the first time.
Free admission.
Okay. Now, hold on.
To all varsity sports excluding men's varsity hockey. Men's varsity ice hockey.
Men's varsity ice hockey. Is there a second to his amendment?
Wait,
is there any dissent?
Just one dissent. You take the word free out of it. You're paying for it.
No, you're not. Free admission.
But the Big Red Sports Fest grants admission. It's not granting free admission.
But you don't have to pay to go.
You don't have to pay that.
You're paying
for it. Okay, that's your dissent. Is there... Okay.
You guys are...
All right, I'm opening up the speakers list. Lavin first is on the speakers list. Anyone else on the speakers list on the amendment? Thank you.
We're trying to mend. I actually agree with Amy on this. There is no reason why we need to mend. I just actually talked to the big guy. And he actually responded that next year he'll in fact, if something happens, the Big Red Sports Fest begins not to include this, I think the assembly would take action. It's absurd that we're trying to mandate that another organization, Big Red Sports Fest, which has boundaries far outside of what this little bit of funding, millions of dollars that they spend in a year, we're trying to mandate what their Big Red Sports Fest actually entails. I think the assembly. We're granting this funding under the assumption that it will, and if something happens in the future where it doesn't, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of contingencies you can include in here to protect the students. However, it's under the purview of the assembly to make sure it doesn't happen over the next few years. And if they did, and you guys didn't act on it, in 2009 when we came back up for another bylaw funding cycle, I'm sure another assertive student assembly would take care of it. We can't include something in here that's mandating how another department formulate their operating procedures, formulate the course better. It's absurd. I call the question.
I'm going to call the question on the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Second.
All in favor of calling a question on the amendment, please raise your hand. This requires 2/3. One. What? This is to call the question. Vote to vote.
Just,
yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All abstaining.
sales, continuing on, Guy.
Okay, so I just wanted to discuss this with the entire assembly. At AFCOM, we sat down with athletics and we talked about all of our concerns, and this is what we worked out. This is hours and hours of talking to them. This is what athletics said. This is our best offer, and we said, but we'll accept that. And we gave them our stipulation. This is very much a product of a two-way negotiation. We do not have the right to go back and renege on this offer because we put in too many hours, and this is the best deal we can get for a student. So I think it's fantastic, and as long as you are in council, I'm sure that's a bad game. But I personally, I don't see why we're still talking about this. This is the best way for students to get free admission. You just have to sign up within 2-3 weeks. And
no, it's 2 months.
2 months. Excuse me. So
August, October.
I really think that our time could be better spent moving on to other issues other than running around in circles with this. So I don't have the power to, but somebody can just call the question.
Achman.
Okay. So the reason we're putting it in there, people don't understand why, as Adam and Guy were saying, why we're putting this in there. We're not changing our agreement. We're merely clarifying what the agreement was. The agreement was that we would give people free Vigorous sports passes. Okay. Vigorous sports passes include all the sports except ice hockey. We're merely writing that into the appendix. Speak in a private conversation that AFSCOM has with athletics where there's no minutes or conversations behind closed doors. Those are not in the trouble. Why should we wait for assembly next year to have the rules? We're just merely clarifying. I really don't understand why that's a big deal when we're trying to clarify. People just say we want to manage the athletics. We're not micromanaging. We are clarifying the agreement. And this is a very good amendment. I really urge all of you to vote for it. There is no point in not letting this pass. Like, it's clarifying what they do. Athletics next year decides basketball is too popular. Let's charge for it. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying if they do, this would be clear in there that we agree to this. And I think that's important for students. It's not, you know, we're representing the students here. I don't understand. It seems like people here represent athletics more than they represent the students. I don't know who, I don't understand what's going on. So,
Basil.
Did he call the question?
Did he call the question? I'm sorry.
Okay. As I said during the SWAT announcement, our legislative authority extends, according to the University Council, to collaboration with violent funded groups, not authority over groups.
We're at 12, I believe. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
This is
we have three proxies, though.
Well, we can't vote on proxies for charter amendments.
Well, proxies also don't count towards quorum. So.
No, I know, but for the 15 that... No, quorum is 12.
Proxies count towards charter amendments.
Yes, they do.
I'm sorry?
Proxies
can... Yes, they do. But
I'm
more concerned.
No, they don't. It's in the charter. Process is not counting.
I don't know.
Right.
Look it up.
I think it's actually right. Okay, then yeah.
Well, can you look it up?
Yes, I'm fine.
Chris, it's your time.
All right, I'll keep going. So yeah, we simply don't have the legislative authority to mandate this. If, you know, I agree with you, Ahmed, we should be looking forward, you know, to keeping the private hockey, giving time to doing all these great things. But we have to be working with athletics, you know, behind the scenes, closed doors. We can't, you know, be mandating this independence to be not the proper form.
I'm just curious as to what are we mandating that we have agreed upon? I'm talking about things in the amendment. I'm not talking about talking to the team process. I'm talking about listing the sports. What is that mandating that we haven't agreed upon?
I'm not sure. Someone's opinion.
My response to that is, we're not mandating anything we haven't agreed upon per se, but again, we're micromanaging. There's no need to put that in there. Fundamentally, what you're saying is that you don't trust next year's assembly and the elected representatives that are here and that have been elected from athletic assembly to, you know, make sure that athletics follow through on the promises. That's essentially what this is about.
One other question.
Yep. Yeah, he did. He had a prior engagement. He told the vice president for internal operations that he had
the vice president for internal operations also.
Yep. He also had a commitment, and he told me about it, and so did the executive vice president.
next on the ticket list?
Vince.
Wait, point of inquiry. Where I'm looking for this and I actually don't see that 2/3. So where is that?
No, for the proxy votes count towards charter amendments. I'll look it up right now. Relax, hold on. Vince, go ahead.
I want to clarify why this amendment. This is not micromanaged. This is because
here, give it to
you found
every
it?
Sport as part of the big red sports pack is subject to being off that big red sports pack if we don't include the charter. The reason why they funded that and why I did fund it for the big red sports pack because those are the sports that were going to include. If they did not include big red, if they did not include many parts of basketball or many parts of lacrosse, and they got rid of some of the most popular sports, I wouldn't have voted for them to get that $10. Actually, I actually did not vote for them, but I definitely wouldn't have voted for them if they excluded their sport. This is just to make sure that we have the right to revoke their funding if they got rid of that. It's only putting that in the charter, and it's forcing them to do so as part of a contract that we agreed upon that the big red sports pack would include those sports. I see no problem. All we're doing is clarifying, and I'm actually yielding my time to that.
According to, can I just interject very quickly, Appendix A, Part 7, voting, all decisions of the Student Assembly regarding the SAF during the SAF allocation process shall be present membership. Proxy votes shall not be printed on any and all votes pertaining to the SAF. I believe that
was point of order, also, the charter itself says that proxy votes will be only cast on unfinished business today, therefore, because there's not 15 people are here, I can share in discussion.
Fine, we'll end discussion. Moving on to new business, Resolution 21, voting rights for members of the undergraduate community. I'm stepping down as chair. Vice President Natarajan is taking over. Have fun with that.
Can I have my
chair
back?
Where is it? Make sure they only
have any questions. I have a point of privilege to the chair. I asked the advisor to keep each of these presentations. Regarding this one, I believe Wayne left.
What?
So 21 and so the three that are charged to you, 5 minutes if possible, so we can get them presented after that on stage with a great one. So then next time we can vote on that. Because these have actually presented once before we vote on them. 7 or 8 of us, including quite a few members of the e-board, spent time to prepare the 75-page documents that we'd like to be able to vote on.
So go ahead.
Give a second. After we saw the tremendous support from the community regarding resolutions that they care deeply about, especially the Field Carry Resolution. We thought about ways that we'd be able to include community members in the discussion process in addition to speaking the idea of a parliamentarian or another appointee of the prep chair come through the crowd at the same time to vote, and then they would register the votes and then tally the votes, and then whatever the prevailing tide was among community members, the two votes would be allocated to that portion of the vote from the assembly. It only go into effect for resolutions that didn't affect the charter or allocations for advocacy or community. Just the way incorporated undergraduates and provide an incentive for not only SA members to bring people here to speak about issues that are concerning to them, but also to engage in community discussion and make them feel that they have a very important role in the decision making process. So with that, I'd like to open up any questions.
Okay. Right now there's only one person on the okay. Guy, go ahead.
Okay, so can you just clarify, I mean, for instance, right now we have one community member.
Yep.
If Rebecca in the back thought really strongly towards something, would she get two votes towards that?
Yep.
Okay. So, I appreciate where this is coming from. Personally, to me...
What would be...
Okay, so... I see where you're getting with this, and I really like the idea, but I think the way we have it right now, and then...
What are you saying? The chair is the new business changed the charter and license questions, or...
Okay.
Then, so, Rebecca has two votes right now, if we would pass this, hypothetically. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. That's it.
Thank you. Steve, I was going to ask you why I thought that two votes. I also have another question. I think this is about the parliamentary budget and the voter card number and whatnot. How would that person verify that they're actually registered to two or more voting?
I suppose it would be the same way with the I don't know. I think honor code or hopefully if someone's going to come here and show the student ID number, hopefully they are a registered student. But why are they coming to students telling me?
The other question I have is, I guess, do you think that, that this body should be, a representative in terms of elected representatives or, a mixed body?
Wait, that's quorum. That's quorum.
No, we have 12 people.
No, we have 11 plus 1. Six. Fine.
Yeah.
Actually, it's 13. So
okay.
12 plus 1. Right. So.
Go ahead, Steve. We're fine.
What I was wanting to say was, motion to end discussion.
What? Any dissent? Okay. Yeah. Good job, Arjun.
I know.
It's not off track. That's the end. Next item on new business is Resolution 24, Student Assembly Support of Academic Integrity at Cornell by Representative Sales.
I actually motion to move Resolution 25 to the next on new business.
Okay. Is there any dissent? Resolution 25, Charter Review Resolution by Representative Asgary. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. What?
Just very briefly, Resolution 33 last year charged me as parliamentarian to chair the committee to review the new charter. Myself, Ahmed, Lane, Weaver, Lavin, and R. Scaling were on the committee. All the decisions you guys see here are unanimous decisions, so certain things will be written for quite a while until we come to anything where there's a change to a strike through removal or a bold or anything underlined or actually addition has a rationale. Anything we didn't change will solve the issue of the concerns included in the commentary. And please note that the change to the SAFC liaison number also at the back would include the SAFC constitution and charter, or I think they call it a charter, so that those are consistent between the SAFC charter and the SA charter that changes made. And a couple of these issues addressed what the SWAT committee has talked about. None of them, like I said, were particularly contentious with regard to things like people from both sides of the table were involved in this committee and commitment to increase all these issues. If you guys have any questions about anything in particular, feel free to ask them now or next week. You'll be voting on them individually. Last thing I'll say is that mainly we were trying to correct inconsistencies, ambiguities, clarify procedure and
present
the documents as possible.
Vince?
Yes. Page 36, appropriations. It says the committee will hear FAFC's appeals commercially, and then it goes pursuant to Article 7.3.3. And then Article 7.3.3 says the student assembly will vote based on majority. So I was wondering. Is there really a necessity for NJFC appeals to go to appropriation? And it seems like it is making the process more cumbersome if they could just come from NJFC directly to the student assembly.
Sure.
So that's my question.
Yeah, sure. I'll answer that briefly. Basically, what we were doing is we were putting whatever the current procedure was and delineating properly to the chart. I think that appropriation functions effectively. The point is that they're just here all the issues and make the recommendation. When it comes to the SA, the question of whether or not SA is be here, SA is the committee of the assembly. And so it would be a majority to overturn them, to overturn the decision, otherwise it would stand. I think that there's nothing wrong with going to appropriation because there's certain times where something's trying to drive appropriations to reflect that, but it can delve into issues more deeply. And while that may not be, it's happened certainly
someone else is, Ahmed. Motion and discussion. And discussion. Is there a second? Any dissent? Resolution 24, Student Assembly Support of Academic Integrity at Cornell University. The time is 6:30. Is there a motion to extend the meeting time by 10 minutes?
Motion to extend the meeting time by 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Is there any dissent? Go ahead, Rami.
Yeah, this resolution, I can move on to the council.
Any questions for Rami? Ahmed. But a motion and discussion. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.